Morning, Gjallarhorn. Dave back again, along with my trusty friend and co-host, Drew Bunting, the long-suffering left coast fan of the Minnesota Vikings. How you doing, Drew?
All out here by myself. That's me. Doing great. Doing great. What are we at, 84 days?
I believe so. Somewhere in there. Yeah, we're getting closer to that. Opening day kickoff. Now, we'll have a little bit of football before then. We'll have, obviously, the preseason, and we have training camp. OTAs today ended. Mandatory mini camp. Today was the last day. We now go on a five-week drought. Now, hopefully, we don't get any bad news of Minnesota Vikings players or coaches or anybody else over that time period.
We don't want bad news.
But in the meantime, Good Morning Gjallarhorn will be here at least
once. We love Good Morning Gjallarhorn. Good Morning Gjallarhorn!
What have you got for me today?
You know, I want to shoot this by. It's a grading system that I have that I came up with. And I use it to grade starters versus depth. But I came up with the name Drew Grading System. So I wanted to run this by you. And I'm going to ask you about some of the players. We're just doing the offense today. We're not going to do the reserves. We're just doing the offensive players. And you give me a grade, scale of 1 to 10, 10 being far superior, 1 being ultimate scrub. And at the end, we'll come up with a final number, and we'll see where we sit on the – when I give the final grade up. But I kind of – I've been doing this for a couple of years, and I wanted to run it by you because, you know, I trust your opinion on stuff. Plus, your beard is, like, perfect. I mean, have you ever looked at your beard closely? That thing looks like it's spun right off the thread of an angel.
I wish.
You look like you took that right off of Gandalf, bro. I mean, that's Hobbit-esque. It's beautiful. Good job, dude, on the beard. Thanks. But use the power of the beard if you need to. To go to that, go ahead and do it. But I'll run you through these players. These are who I think is going to be the starter, and you can give me a grade and an explanation or just a grade and move on. It's all up to you.
Gotcha.
So we're going to try this little grading system game. And for you out there at home, you can play along too. Just give me a grade. Okay, Riley Reiff, offensive line. We'll start there.
Riley Reiff, left tackle. Decent player, 7.
We're giving Riley a 7. Moving on, left guard, Nick Easton.
Average, 5.
Next, the Elf.
Pat Elflein, center of the future. Definitely worth a 6 last year, if not closer to a 7.
Got to pick one number.
Now I'll go with a 6.
Pat Elflein receives a 6 from Mr. Stefano.
Mr. Stefano!
This is a new song I wrote. Mike Remmers, we're putting him at guard, right guard. Rem job.
Mike Remmers, probably a 6.
Put him down for a 6. Very good. And right tackle, I have Rashad Hill.
5.
5. Sorry, Shad. Okay, moving on. Tight end, Kyle Rudolph, the Roodster.
8.
Good score. And now we go to the best duo of wide receivers in the league. I'm not trying to influence your answer either. I'm just stating a fact. We go to Adam Thielen.
9.
Meow, meow. Diggsy, Stefan.
Well, I want to give him an 8.5, but
we only do round numbers here, David. We don't
9.
Okay, we don't make it difficult on the counter. Okay, now the third wide receiver spot. They're playing about in my head over and over again. We're going Laquon Treadwell, the tree stump, for the third wide receiver. I didn't want to play that number out, huh?
He's below average.
You think?
Yeah, we know. Statistical proof to justify it. I'll give him a 3.
Okay, we'll slap him down for the lowest score yet. 3. Okay, we're going running back, Cooker.
Cooker should actually have been an incomplete last year, but he was on his way to being a 9, without a doubt, possibly a 10. He was on his way to be rookie of the year.
Good call. Bold call. I agree with it, too. Would you go 9 or 10?
We'll go 9.
And last but certainly not least, Captain Dreamy at quarterback.
Kirk Cousins, dream, based on his
last three years.
Very prolific passer, has some issues with fumbles and interceptions. I'll give him an 8.
Okay. So we run down the numbers. 12, 24, 37, 43, 46, 55, 58, 67, 75. Is that right? 75 out of a possible 110. That's what our offense ranks out at. And that is in the Drew scale between a B and a C. So,
which is about right. I think that's about where they'll fit in.
Right. I mean, it's the numbers, when you look at the way you handed them out, I think it's pretty fair that the offensive line was the lower end of everything. And that's kind of how we look at it. But 75 out of 110, I was kind of hoping we would hit 80. But those are the Stefano numbers, and we don't argue with them.
Well, there's definitely room for improvement, and I hope there is. I hope there's great improvement this year. With the O-line playing together an additional year, or some of the guys, like if Easton gets beat out by Isadora in a left guard slot, you know, there's all sorts of opportunity.
Sure.
And I think they'll take it to get better. And that's got to
happen. I think you're right. Getting better. That's the whole idea. And then we take this number 75 that I got from you, and we go up against the second string guys. And if their numbers come out to be about 50 to 55 or 60, then you're okay. If your second string numbers add up to be 30, you got a serious problem. Just a little technique or a little theory thing that I use in my football life. So I appreciate that. I was interested to see what your numbers were. Definitely. Thank you very much. I will put them in the bank and save them for later.
No problem. Let's move on to listener questions at the moment.
Listener questions.
We have a few.
I love listener questions. Yeah, the first listener question is from Ruby. I think I know her. I think I've answered a couple of her questions before.
Just a few.
She's a big. You better answer them right too, or it's Sofa City, baby. Okay, she wants to know your opinion on what you see the running game looking like this year and going into next year.
I see the ball being snapped by Pat Elflein. Kirk Cousins gets it, turns around, and hands it off to Cook or Murray.
That's a hell of a breakdown. That no. is good knowledge. That's good knowledge right there. You're not going to find that on any show besides this one.
No, seriously. Like I said, in the grading portion, I think Cook is special, absolutely special. We haven't seen anybody of that quality at running back since Adrian Peterson. Their styles are different, but that's okay. I think Dalvin Cook has a chance to be very, very good in this league. I think Murray, early in the season and then later in the season in a more traditional red zone type, short distance spell type back, will also be very good. His style, upright style of running and finding things. I think they will complement each other well. And I think the running game, though it may not be the majority of snaps, and I really hope it's not. I hope we don't go with a 50-50 split. I hope it's closer to 60-40 pass over run. But I do think it will be vitally important and very productive for us.
Do you think Murray ends up stealing the goal line carries?
I do believe he has a good chance of sniping those touchdowns because he'll be in there when it's tight. Cook has the advantage. If he's not in there within the 10-yard line, well, then get motivated and score from the 25.
Okay, that's a good answer. So we're looking pretty good with the running back position all the way around, going looking safe this year. You know, we still got to get our next guy in there, but, you know, back up.
Right, but I think the RB3 and the fullback will easily do their job.
We'll move on. Good question. Thanks, Ruby. We'll go to Rhino. Ryan from the Gjallarhorn Group. Do you think we carry five or six wide receivers this year? And who gets the – do you think we carry five or six? And who gets the final one or two spots? That's assuming that the four spots are already locked up by Diggs, Thielen, Wright, and Stumpy. So say they're already on.
What do you think?
I think that we're going to carry five. And I think the fifth will be Stacy Coley. Now, there's like 12 guys right now to choose from in terms of receiver. I don't know if it's 12, but I'm going to say Coley or that Weinicke guy. That Weinicke guy is 6'4", 221, which easily makes them our biggest wide receiver that we have at camp. Correct or am I wrong? The guy from South Dakota State.
I believe so.
I think he's the biggest guy. And they want big targets. They don't like big targets that we can use on that slant pattern 18 times in a row.
What about O'Neal? Coach Zimmer had him catching passes yesterday.
I think Coley's the most experienced, I think, out of all the – I think he'll probably get the fifth spot, but I see us carrying five.
Okay. And why the five instead of six?
Just to free up a roster spot somewhere else. I don't think we need six.
Right. Free it up for an extra cornerback.
So you think we're going to carry five or six?
I think we're carrying five. I think I agree with you that in this case, they're going to use that extra roster space on a different position.
Is that you answering? Or is that the beard talking?
No, that's me on that one. The beard can say I'm wrong and completely.
Okay. The third question is from our super fan in Gjallarhorn Group. Mary always has great questions. Should Coach Zimmer continue to call the defensive plays? That is a great question.
I like that they got into experimenting with him not doing it, but it's one of those things, if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Sure. You think he just has too much engulfed in his mind about defense that he can't listen? When I a couple songs we cut in the studio, I had to give my bass up to sing, and somebody else came in and did the bass lines. You know what? I spent half the time telling them, you're not doing it right. I couldn't give it up. I said, this is how, you know what I'm saying? This is how I want you to do it. Can you just play it like, and they were playing it fine. It was just, it was me.
No, I got you.
Is it like that with him, with the defense? He just can't let it go?
Well, he's obviously the subject matter expert. And part of maturing and coaching is learning to let, not only imparting that information on your subordinates, but to let them grow making those decisions. I think we'll see more of it. I think he slowly backs away. You know, he may have called 95% of the plays last season. He may call 80 this season, right? And I think we'll be fine. But I still think it's his baby. That's where he knows it's the best. He does want to get over on the offensive side some more, and I think that's to the advantage of the Vikings.
I think the advantage of the Vikings is having consistency within the coaching staff. You know how it goes today. The way these teams are, different coordinator every year. I mean, it's always flopping around teams, different guys. All that. The Vikings have been steady with, you know, they've had a couple miscues at the offensive coordinator position, but defensively, it's been the same mindset, the same scheme for what, 4 years?
Yeah, and during practice yesterday, Zim was talking about how Cousins went up, they're practicing red zone. Cousins goes up and calls an audible.
Right.
And the defense that's been playing together for 3 and 4 years now, audible back and switched the position. And Zim had to come in and go, whoa, guys. We haven't even installed that yet. And he said, everyone, 10 out of the 11 knew exactly what to do and moved to counter Cousins audible. The only one that wasn't quite sure was Richardson because he's brand new to that defense.
I thought you were going to say Holton Hill because he was staring off into space.
No, it's the first string defense.
That's kind of That's kind of cool though that everybody knew how to adjust to it. I mean, they just started all this. Yeah, so that's a good story. That's good knowledge right there.
Well, it was, you know, they were a little upset with Captain Dreamy's booyah type deal after scoring those first two touchdowns, and they were going to shut it down. Whether you he like knew that. What they were doing it anyways.
That was you great. Like that.
Our last question comes from Denver, our buddy Denver.
There we go. Ready? Rocky Mountain. The Colorado part was supposed to be yours.
Oh, I can't sing. I can't hold a tune in a bucket, brother.
All right, head on out. What does Denver have on his mind this morning?
More numbers, which is Denver's favorite topic. He asked, if you let Kyle Rudolph, Trey Waynes, Richardson, and Robeson, plus Sendejo gone, let cut them before camp, would we save enough money to free up enough cap space in order to sign Barr, Hunter, and Diggs, the three guys that everybody talks about? Well, there's a big problem with this. One, I don't want to get rid of four guys that are starters, and the fifth one being Robeson, who's an absolute imperative backup rotational player. No, that's a bad move for three guys that are on the roster anyways. If you look at it, if you suddenly had this epiphany to let's cut these guys to free up money, I ran the numbers using both SpotTrack and Over the Cap as my sources. It only frees up a little over $6 million. $6 million on top of our little over $17 million in available cap space right now isn't going to be enough. When you look at forecasting what they're going to cost on extensions. So the answer to this question is no.
Okay. Very good question, though. I mean, that's probably a question a lot of people have on their minds about re-signing. I think we're all in agreement. Diggs has to be at the top, close to the top of the list.
Well, he's the most important. He scores, if you look at points per play, wonderful other stat nerd stuff. The wide receiver position is one of the most important. And it's over outside linebacker, especially 4-3 outside linebacker or defensive end. So
Denver loves those stats, man. You and Denver, you guys are stat cage match right there. You got to get you in a stat cage match with Denver, Rocky Mountain High, and Colorado. It's good stuff. That's good questions. Good questions for today.
Well, a future friend of the show and a friend of mine, Dr. Eric Eager at PFF, happened to publish out some of his work. I'm going to be reading it this weekend, and it's absolutely delicious for those that are stat nerds.
Nerd alert!
Here, I got to get this shot in for Ted. There we go.
University of Missouri, right?
Feast your eyes on that, Ted Glover. Cool. Those were good questions. I enjoy our listener questions. Our listeners, they're not fools, David. They follow the team. They follow the show. It's Good Morning Gallahorn. Wouldn't be the same without their interaction.
Now, speaking of interaction, I want to thank everybody that's listened and watched in our first two episodes. Our response that we've gotten has been fantastic. We couldn't be more pleased, and we look forward to future growth. And if you're on Facebook, remember to give us a like, a thumbs up.
Give us a like.
And like also select that bell that Facebook likes so much to get notifications when we come out.
Give us a like. Give us a like.
That should be it for today. We hope you have a great morning, a great day, a great weekend, and a better week.
Meow, meow, Viking cow.
Booyah. Skol, everybody.
See ya.
You can find me, David Stefano, on Twitter at luft_Krieger. That's LUFT_KR. IGARE. Thank you for enjoying the show.